So thank you very much, Darren, for that introduction, and also to all the organizers of the conference for inviting me here. So what the plan is for today, and how long do we have here? Good question. So we wanted to show a bit of a video that I worked on, and maybe the first 15, 20 minutes of it. And I do have copies of that video over on the table if anyone would like one to take home with you so you can finish watching it. And I'll just give you a quick background to the Sunlight Media Collective. So the video is produced by the Sunlight Media Collective. It's a group of Native, non-Native folks. Kathy Paul is here. She's also part of the collective and was in the video as well. And as things were heating up around this Penobscot Nation versus Janet Mills, this age-old clash of cultures between Penobscot Nation and the state of Maine, many of us were getting very frustrated that stories weren't being accurately portrayed. And we realized the complexity and the depth of what was happening, and this issue that's being played out right now currently has such deep colonial underpinnings. And so we wanted to get together and to tell a story that would resonate with people, that it wasn't these little erroneous news clips in the newspapers, but something that really got to the depth of what this is all about. And so that's what we set out to do, to take this legal battle playing out between two governments and to really bring it home so that we see ourselves reflected in that battle. The second thing is one of the stories that we felt that wasn't being adequately represented anywhere was the story of this uprising of support that Penobscot Nation has. We're not standing alone anymore. And that is huge. And you don't see that story represented anywhere. And I always say, I think that story would scare the crap out of some people, you know, to realize that we have all these people on our side. And so this is what you'll see in the video. So I'd like to go ahead and just play a portion of that. And when I'm done, invite you all to grab a video for yourself. And then I'll speak a little bit more afterwards, if we have time. Sound good? Portion drags a little bit, and I didn't want to put you all right to sleep. So, and you can watch the rest of the movie. I invite you to take a film for yourself, and it's also available online at the Sunlight Media Collective website. You can watch the entire film there. But I wanted to speak just a little bit and then offer the opportunity for people to ask questions, since this is a contemporary issue. Maybe you might want to know a little bit more about it. But in terms of being here at a deep ecology conference, I wanted to say that it is in my opinion that this Penobscot Nation versus Mills legal battle really speaks to what we understand about deep ecology and the interconnectedness of everything. And as a result of this battle that has ensued, so many members of social justice and environmental justice groups have stepped up and have become involved and have sided with the Penobscot Nation on this and are helping to educate about this. And one thing that has arisen out of this battle is that we have nurtured a deeper respect and understanding of the sacredness of water, because a lot of the conversations around this river battle is the fact that this is not a tribal state government fight. This is not two governments just disputing over words on paper. This is water. And it's with water that we all truly are interconnected, and we all truly are one, because all the water that is all the water that is, right? And all the water that will ever be. So what we're doing to the water, we're doing to ourselves. And so of particular concern is the fact that the state of Maine hasn't ever really spoken about their role. Like I said, Penobscot Nation, as the film says, has been very vocal about their interests and their involvement based on an ancient relationship with this place and with this water that provided absolutely everything we needed to survive. So our stewardship efforts make sense. But what doesn't make sense is why suddenly in 2012 our own state government wishes to wage a battle to wrest control of that certain portion of the river. And there's a lot of things heating up the state that confuse the issue very much. There's the one Penobscot Nation versus Mills, the federal court case. And then there's also happening alongside of this a battle between the Maine Department of Environmental Protection and the Federal Environmental Protection Agency. They're also engaged in a battle. As a matter of fact, I believe the state of Maine has sued the EPA for the second time now around water quality jurisdiction in the Penobscot Indian Reservation. And I just want to make my notes to myself. So we see ourselves in this battle because it's a battle not just for the fisheries but for the water. There's a lot of things that are happening across the state in terms of corporate industrialization that people are aware of. An organization called Stop the East-West Corridor Coalition has been very, very active and very vocal in this river fight. They see this river battle as a linchpin to the industrialization across the state with this east-west industrial corridor and pipeline that's being proposed. Interestingly enough, about the time that the river battle started heating up, 2012-2013, that's when sort of that proposal for the east-west corridor kind of went silent. We don't really hear about it anymore. We don't really hear about the river case either. Also happening just above Indian Island, there's a state-owned landfill there, and they're seeking a mega expansion. And this state-owned landfill, and I say if it's state-owned, then that must mean we all own it, right? And so we're responsible for it. They're proposing a gigantic expansion. They're going to have to fill in about 2 acres of a wetland to do it. And this landfill has been watchdogged by a particular local citizens group for about a decade because, you know, once they got their foot in the door, there was no getting them out. The original agreement was that this landfill would be for Maine State waste only. And immediately after getting the right to operate that landfill, the managers of the landfill set out to change the definition of in-state waste at the legislative level. And so there's actually language in the legislature about what is and what isn't considered in-state or out-of-state waste. So essentially, waste that is generated in any other state outside of Maine can be trucked into Maine, and if it is in any way processed at a facility other than the Juniper Ridge landfill, the state-owned dump, then it somehow miraculously becomes Maine State waste, and then it can go up to Juniper Ridge. And so it's filled up. It's a mega mountain. It's situated between two rivers, the Birch Stream and Pushaw Stream, and it's about 2 miles upriver from Indian Island. So a very, very major concern for us. And despite it all, I'm feeling hopeful because And you see it reflected a little bit more in the film about the involvement of the allies with the standing with Penobscot Nation and realizing our oneness with the water. And it seems like throughout history there's been numerous episodes of deal making and deal breaking between the tribe and the state of Maine. And here we are now again at this crossroads. Where we're seeing before us how these things happen. As a historian, I used to always read these histories of enormous loss. Particularly, there was a period in the early to mid-1800s where Penobscots lost almost the whole bulk of their Aboriginal territory, despite the treaties. And I used to read these things and just wonder how my ancestors must have felt, you know, experiencing that for themselves. And unfortunately, I don't have to wonder anymore because it's happening right here, right now. And I'm appealing to all of you to be concerned and to be involved, that this is an opportunity for us to maybe do something different this time, maybe do the right thing this time, because when it comes to water, like I said, water has no boundaries and it affects us all. I wanted to read a story before I open up for questions, and I can't even remember what you said. We had a time frame, I'm sorry.
Well,
are we over?
Well, we go on. This
okay.
is too important to let.
I want to read this story, and I have some pins on the table by the videos, and I welcome you to take a pin. It's a Dawnland Defense pin, and it says Wabanaki Ally on it, and has a little image of a woodpecker on it, and I'll tell you why. I'll read you this story about Meme in Glasgow, which is a story of friendship, and this is one of our traditional Penobscot stories. So Glasgow, first of all, is known as the man from nothing, and he is the cultural hero of the Wabanaki people. So he has a whole series of adventures which are reflected in our oral traditions. And Meme is the pileated woodpecker. Meme is the Penobscot word for that. Glasgow, on returning to his people after spending a long time away, found the water had turned black and that it had a foul stench. As Glasgow paddled his birch bark canoe upstream, he saw a giant serpent lying on the surface of the water. The serpent raised its head and began to move threateningly towards Glasgow. Glasgow responded to this aggression by steering his canoe directly at the monster to meet it head on. Suddenly, Meme, the woodpecker, flew between the man and the serpent. Meme danced in the air, trying to figure out how best to defuse the situation. Meanwhile, Glasgow had a moment to wonder how he could possibly win against a giant serpent in a canoe with only one arrow and with a bird for an ally. Meme flew toward Glasgow and landed on the bow of the canoe. "Don't worry, I'll help you. I'll tell you where to aim and then pick up your arrow when it falls." From his perch, he began to instruct Glasgow on how to defeat the serpent monster. He said, "Be quick and take your bow and shoot the arrow at the smallest part of the reptile's body." Glasgow took aim and shot at the serpent, but the arrow fell short without having any effect at all. Meme flew, picked up the arrow, and returned it to Glasgow, saying, "Aim nearer the tail." 6 times Glasgow shot the arrow, and 6 times the arrow failed to find its mark, and 6 times Meme flew close to the serpent, pointing with his beak to the spot near the tail where Glasgow should aim. With Meme's help, Glasgow found the weak spot with his arrow and broke the serpent's back. In the aftermath of the battle with the serpent, the water was full of blood and the serpent's body floated on the surface. Meme suggested that Glasgow could gift him with a mark in return for his help in slaying the water monster. So Glasgow dipped his arrow in the blood of the serpent and touched it gently to Meme's head. When this was done, the water returned to its pristine state, and Meme had a brilliant crown of red, a mark of true friendship. Meme said in departing, "In friendship we came into this world, and in friendship we live in it." And this story really speaks to me because, and it speaks to the help of all of the people throughout the state of Maine who have stepped up to care about this issue, that we can't do this on our own anymore. And so it's with great appreciation that people have stepped up to help us fight this water monster once again. And I believe, like Scotty and the woodpecker, that we're going to succeed.
Nice.
So I will be around if anyone wants to talk and have questions. I certainly don't want to hold up the afternoon's activities. And thank you very much.
Great.